guys. Welcome to the Mirrored Disciple Podcast. This is Pastor Jeff Strong broadcasting from Nelson, British Columbia. And today I want to kind of highlight some of the most important insights from a really great interview that was on Unbelievable Radio between Ruth Jackson and Shelby Abbott. Shelby Abbott is an evangelist and author of numerous books, including his new book, Doubtless, Because Faith is Hard. And it wasn't a long video. It was only about 30 minutes, but it was just full of insight related to the nature of doubt and dynamics of modern doubt and how to grapple with doubt in a way that actually constructively builds into the strengthening of our faith instead of undermining it. So I just wanted to go over a few key ideas that Shelby shared and then maybe comment on a few of them. So the first was, I think, really important for us all to either hear for the first time or to be reminded of. And that is, as a person of faith, it's not a matter of if we're going to encounter doubt, but when. Doubt is an inevitability because doubt occurs as we process ideas or events and experiences that cause us to question certain assumptions that we've had, certain presuppositions that were in play that we weren't aware of. And so as you move through life, you're going to consistently have to face doubt. And even just framing the entire conversation in that way is really, really critical, because that saves us from any sense of guilt or despair or disappointment in ourselves when we find ourselves doubting, as if there's something intrinsically wrong or abnormal about that, or as if that's a sign that we don't have, quote unquote, true or deep or a strong faith. A strong faith is going to be tested against many difficult circumstances throughout our lives. And doubt is the process of grappling with experiences and events that don't line up with the way we presumed life to be. Shelby also makes this distinction about facing our doubts and, quote unquote, doing doubt well. He had this line about, you know, there's a difference between doing doubt well versus fading away from faith. And that is a distinction that in different circles, Trevin Wax has this good distinction that Shelby picks up on, that there's a difference between doubt and unbelief. Sometimes those two get conflated, but they're actually very different things. Doubt is a might be a temptation to unbelief. Doubt is a sense of uncertainty around something that we previously thought was certain. And it can facilitate a seeking, a knocking, an asking, a search for the answers to what vexes us. Unbelief is different. Unbelief is a conclusion. Unbelief, biblically understood, is a deliberate decision to live as if there's no God. So, you know, doubt is an experience and it's something that we have to decide how we're going to direct it. But unbelief is a posture of the heart. It's a conclusion. It's a mindset against living for God and doing what is right in my own eyes and living without reference to God. Trevin Wax puts it this way, that doubt, like constructive doubt, is faith seeking understanding, not unbelief seeking confirmation. And in that distinction, we find a good way of trying to parse through, am I processing my doubt well? Am I doing doubt well? Versus, am I looking to leverage this doubt in order to fade away from faith? He talks about how, this is Shelby Abbott does. He has an interesting observation, and I don't know if I totally agree with it, but I think there's a kernel of truth here. He says, our culture has fostered an environment where it's very popular and very popular to doubt, and it's a celebrated thing to do. And I don't know if that's always true, but I have noticed that in some circles, to be highly cynical and skeptical and to foster doubt and questioning at every turn can be lionized. It can be paraded out as this courageous act. And it's always a courageous act to doubt. And that can be in some of these circles where doubt is a slope to deconstruction, which, depending how it's defined, is this movement towards kind of taking apart, like literally deconstructing one's faith and looking at faith through a very cynical lens. And Shelby Abbott says part of why there is such a challenge to address doubt in a healthy way is because we're just being given so many examples of people just doubting and throwing the baby out with the bathwater and doing deconstruction work. And yet what we're seeing from the people around those people doing that work is a celebration. And he cautions us at this point. And I think his insight is worth reflecting on. He says, we want to be careful when we do that, because when you celebrate something, you become obsessed with it, and it becomes a primary means of processing all information. And he says, because he works a lot with university age students, young adults, he says, one of the things that I want them to understand is that while it's normal and healthy to both experience and acknowledge our doubts and to process them, and that might be a long, messy road, he says, I want them to also know that it's abnormal and that it's unhealthy to obsess over our doubts and to constantly question things about our faith. There is a fundamental settledness that we should be living into as we learn more about who God says we are, who God reveals himself to be through his word, how his word calls us to bring his truth and grace and love, how to bring the gospel to bear on our lives. We're going to experience doubt as we interface with those challenges. But to make doubt and a constant subversive questioning the fundamental starting point is really going to do damage to our faith. If our desire is to have an authentic faith that is grounded on trust and a robust understanding of what it means to be intellectually and relationally and emotionally faithful to God. At one point in the interview, he is asked, where do most doubts come from, at least in the spheres of influence that he has operated within? And the question was framed around, is the nature of doubt more rooted in one's emotions, they experience something at a personal level which causes them to doubt, or are they more intellectual? They come across an idea, a reframing of maybe a biblical truth that they just presumed, obviously that's right. Someone talks about it in a way that all of a sudden is causing them to kind of the dominoes to fall, the house of cards there to fall and to say, well, can I really trust this? Can I really believe this? And he has a reflection that I would say holds true for me pastorally as well, which is that the majority of the time, not exclusively, but the majority of the time, doubt arises from people feeling... Doubt arises from a deep personal disappointment or an experience of deep personal pain and loss, right? I mean, I have found pastorally, and I think this holds true in some of the conversations that I've had with some colleagues and books that I've read, that doubt often has one of two roots. The first is that it arises from people feeling betrayed by some perceived unfairness, Right? They maybe they thought or believed they were entitled to a certain kind of life, or to for life to look a certain way by the time they were 20, 30, 50, and then they didn't receive that expectation. And in the not receiving it, what was exposed was the fact that they just thought they were entitled to this. And in its absence, all kinds of resentment and anger rushes to the forefront. And now they begin to doubt the essential goodness of God and his faithfulness. Because what they equated God's goodness and God's faithfulness with was a particular kind of life kind of rolling out as they moved through their own individual timeline. So the first kind of root of doubt arises from people who feel betrayed because in their mind, God isn't delivering into their lives what he should have, or maybe even what he's obligated to. The second root is that doubt arises from the experience of personal pain or loss. So this is where we weren't expecting something to be a part of our life, but it was introduced to our life, right? And this is a hardship or a suffering or a loss that has come into my life. I wasn't expecting it to. I didn't want it to. But in its intrusion, I react with anger and resentment towards God. And part of that is because I was operating with the premise that if God is good, if God is loving, and if I maybe I'm thinking kind of like, if I do my part and I kind of avoid quote unquote big bad sins and I'm just a pretty solid straight and narrow kind of Christian, then God's going to protect me from not all, you know, suffering, but big stuff. And then when something big enters into my life and I feel like it's undeserved, then that can unleash a torrent of resentment and bitterness towards God. Because this isn't pain that I asked for. It's not pain that, from my perspective, maybe I feel like is warranted. And I begin to play with the idea that, well, if God really loved me, if God was really good, if God was really powerful, if God was really who I believe God to be, then he would have never allowed this pain to enter my life to begin with. And I thought understanding and reflecting on those two kind of roots of doubt are really, really important, because that's what I've found as well, both in my own life and in my pastoral experience, that the nature of doubt is often comes out of emotional and very personal disappointment with God rather than some kind of high level abstracted attack on a particular element of Christian theology, or a certain dimension of our faith. In a real note of hope, Shelby Abbott says that when we do doubt well, our faith can actually be strengthened. And he has a good metaphor. He says, you know, in the same way that a muscle is strengthened at the gym when it's broken down, that's what the process of working out does. It creates these kind of micro tears at the muscular level that once your body has a chance to repair those tears, it actually builds back stronger. And Shelby uses this as a metaphor for this is what doubt is designed to do in our life, to come into our life and to create this discomfort, this hardship, these tears. But as we do doubt well, what we're actually doing is building back stronger. We're facing the doubt. We're going deep into scripture, into prayer, into long-standing Christian wisdom around the topic. We're going deep with friends. We're summoning a whole bunch of resources to bear, and that is allowing the muscle that is our faith and our confidence in God to build back stronger, not from denying the doubt, but from actually wrestling with it and wrestling through it. Lastly, he encourages any Christian wrestling with doubt to recognize that almost none of the doubts that we may encounter today, none of the doubts that are even, that may, maybe even feel very particular to you, are new, right? Ecclesiastes says there's nothing new under the sun. And 99% of all the doubts that we have are thousands of years old. And he challenges students when they come to him and say, I'm really wrestling with the whole concept of God, or with my faith right now, or believing and trusting that the Bible is authoritative, that it actually is the inspired word of God, because X, Y, and Z, and they'll throw out their experiences and the roots for their doubt. And he'll often say to them, oh yeah, that's totally an understandable reaction. Have you read this person? Have you read this person? Have you been exposed to this idea, this way of going about it? And almost always they'll just say, no, I've never heard of that person. And there's an edge here that I want everyone to hear, but I want, I tried to receive it from Shelby too. He says to them, you know, part of why, maybe not we experience doubt, but part of what keeps us in doubt is that we're just not willing to put in the work to seek after quality answers to these questions, which aren't unique to us. Christians have been wrestling with and through these questions for thousands of years. And now we live in an age where between, some careful searches on YouTube and some cross-referencing with trusted, mature Christians that you might know, pastors, theologians, other teachers, and say, what are your best reads on this topic? Or I'm really struggling here. Like, do you know of a video that might help me? Like, we can have access to some of the most strengthening, helpful, clarifying theological and biblical teaching that can take what might have snowballed into a storm of doubt that threatens to envelop us into something that's absolutely manageable. But we have to be willing to actually seek those things out. If we just simply stay in our doubt and think or hope that it's just going to pass, I think that's unwise. I think what we want to do is turn towards our doubt and to look for courageous ways to face it. And in so doing, what we actually learn is that our doubts are something which can act as a catalyst for a deeper, not just understanding of our faith, but because so much of our doubt is rooted in personal, emotional disappointment, loss, and maybe even trauma, doubt can become a catalyst for a deeper walk with God, where we don't just learn new bits of information that inform our thinking such that we have our mind sorted out, but deep in our bones, we learn how to walk with God in a way that is aligned to the truth. And that in walking in those ways, it's not that we'll never experience doubt again, but we kind of grow into a pattern of learning how to direct our doubts towards God as we draw from other Christians around us, times of real study and reflection, real seeking. So you can watch the whole video. I'll link it in the description of this podcast episode. It's well worth the whole watch. But I just wanted to kind of highlight those parts of the interview between Ruth Jackson and Shelby Abbott and comment on them, because this is something that every disciple of Jesus is going to encounter repeatedly throughout their lives. And we want to be learning in ways big and small how to do doubt well, so that instead of fading away from faith, we're actually growing into a deeper discipleship walk with Jesus. Guys, thanks for listening. Hope you guys have a great day. Take care.